If you have your Bibles, open up to Psalms chapter 1. I like that last verse of the last song that we sang. Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer thine, mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne. It shall be thy royal throne. Word of God, where would we be without it right now? Amen? Stands, it has stood the test of time. And just for a second, I'd appreciate it if you stand as we go through the first six verses of Psalm chapter 1. I'll read. It's King James. You can follow along. If you have King James, you can go right ahead and read with me. Psalms chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. It shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word. I pray, Lord, that you would use it in a great and a mighty way. Lord, that you would use it to guide us, to lead us, to give us the words that we need to walk in this world that we have today. Blessed only you can, and we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. When Pastor asked me to preach, I went through it, and I had in my mind exactly what I was going to preach. And I was studying, and I was going through some things and trying to find the right thing. And then comes last Sunday, he says, "Well, I need the name. I need the verses." So I gave them to him. And from the way I was going to preach the message 2 weeks ago to the way the Lord changed my heart come Monday, they got a different message this week. But I believe it's from the Lord, and I think it's an area of our lives that we can use. And we're going to be talking about the perfect man. We're going to kind of dissect this a little bit and go over on our daily walk of what we need to have for this day and how we can apply it to our hearts, to our lives. I told Pastor, I said, "You know how difficult it is to stand up here and preach God's word with him sitting in the back." Pastor Kirkland did that to me one time. He was going to be out of town, and about 5 minutes after the church, I started preaching, he walked in, and him and Norma sat in the back, and I thought, "You've got to be kidding me." So I told him, I said, "I'll be fine as long as you don't take out a piece of paper and pencil and start writing down questions." But this is from God's throne room through my heart to you. And I hope that it finds a place in your heart that some of this stuff that you have, you can use it. You can glean it. You can use it to walk in your daily walk with him. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. These are some of the practices. We're going to be talking about some of the practices of a blessed man. As we go through this, you can think, am I blessed or am I not? You make that decision. As we go through these verses and some of these different things, I want you to take a little memory. If you were to stand before a judge today to be found guilty of being a Christian, is there enough evidence in your life to find you guilty? Practices of a blessed man, the power of a blessed man, and the permanency of the Word of God that you have learned, that you own it. Do you own it? Do you know verses that will, as we talked about in Sunday school, if somebody came up to you today and said, hey, I only have an hour to live, can you tell me how to be saved? Can you do it? If you can't, you should. We are the Lord's mouthpiece. We are His feet. We are His hands. We are His voice in this world today until He takes us home or until He comes to take us all home. Amen? First verse. The first verses that we have are the negative side of the practice of a blessed man. We are told that by the words of the blessed that God wants the happy man. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be blessed. We see that these positions posture that we have of a blessed man. But we also see, what does it say? It says, blessed is the man, or happy is the man, who does what? He does not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Nor stand in the way of the sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. I want you to look at this verse. It says, a happy man is a man that does not stand, sit, and a person does all these things. He's not a happy man. Do you want to be a happy man? Follow in the steps of where the Lord wants you to be. These verses here are kind of these are all the different things you shouldn't be if you want to be blessed. There's three different stages. First of all, he associates with the ungodly. Then he gets in with the sinners. And then finally, he joins in with the scornful. You notice all these things are negative. These are things that he does not want you to do. He doesn't want you to stand. I was going to use the old adage where, you know, you, first of all, you're running for the Lord, you're excited, and you walk for Him, and then all of a sudden, you kind of stand, and then you kind of sit, and then you kind of just lay there. You're just there. That's not the way the Lord wants it. Like a child when it's born, first of all, you're so excited it can crawl. Man, I'll tell you what, he's learned to crawl. Then he learns to stand and hold on to things. Then he learns to walk. Then you got a problem. And then he learns to run. Well, the Lord wants us to do that too, but he wants us to do it in a way that it benefits other people knowing about the Lord. Where are you at in that part of your life? Are you walking in the Lord? I hope you are. I hope you're running in the Lord. All these songs that we had here today were talking about standing and sitting and running for the Lord. That's what we need to be doing. Time is short. Time is short, and we have a job to do. And it's not by sitting still. You know, our job is to go into the highways and the hedges and compel them to come in. Pastor's job is to teach us. He is to take the Word of God and teach us and to raise us up and grow us and nurture us into to where we know what the Word of God says. You need to study too. But our job is to get people in here. What does the Bible say? It says compel them to come in. Go out into the highways and the hedges and get them to come on in. Get them in so they can hear the Word of God that the pastor preaches. And he preaches the Word of God, I'm here to tell you. We don't need to be a part of standing, sitting, or laying down with the sinners or the scornful. You know, the word counsel means advice. This man does not listen to the ungodly. Jesus will never refer to his own reason or his own mind as the basis for a decision. It was always, I am going to Jerusalem because it is the will of my Father. He knows the will of God the Father. Do you? Do you know what the Lord wants you to do? Do you know where He wants you to be? And not only that, let's look at, are you where you need to be? Are you doing what you need to be doing? I've said this before, but I will say this. If you're doing less than you were doing at your best for the Lord, you're backslidden. You have people that you can talk to that nobody else can talk to about being saved. You've got people that you have their ear. They will listen to you where they won't listen to anybody else. Are you talking to them about the Lord? Good counsel is fine. And in a multitude of counsel, there is safety. We are to walk by faith, stay away from the counsel of the ungodly. You know, I probably shouldn't say this, but you know, if you're looking for a church that meets your needs, you can always find someone, if you look long enough, that will give you the counsel the way you want to hear it. But how does it line up with the Word of God? The Word of God is preached from this pulpit. If it wasn't, I wouldn't be here. We need to know what it says. We need to tell people. We need to be able to tell people how to be saved, what they need to be doing to serve the Lord. There's churches not far from here that they don't open up this Word of God. They don't know what it is to read it. They don't know what it is to study the Word of God, to apply it to their hearts and to their lives. That's what we need, each and every one of us. Don't be looking for some place that's perfect for you, because it's only perfect because it meets your criteria, not the way it lines up with the Word of God. Proverbs 14, verse 12, it says, there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Isaiah 53, 6 tells us, all we, like sheep, have gone astray, and we have turned every one to his own ways. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquities of us all. Where are you in serving the Lord? Are you standing? Are you sitting? Are you walking? Or are you running for the Lord? So the ungodly goes from standing in the way of sinners to sitting in the seat of the scornful. The scornful or scorners are atheists. They don't believe in God. They not only deny God, but they also have a hatred of God. And we see this every day. Scorners, the ones who are opposed to God, the Bible being read in public schools, they don't want the Bible being read at all anywhere, in fact. The negative side of a happy man does not do these things. We're living in a world today that we're living in a country today that on our money it says in God we trust, and our government is far from trusting in God. Amen? You know, we got to take a stand, and we got to know what we stand for. We got to know where we stand. We've read the last chapter in the book, people. We know how it ends. We know how it ends. The blessed man is a perfect man. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And in God's law, he meditates both day and night. The Bible has what we need as Christians to live by. This is our book, our daily book on how to live, how to walk with the Lord, how to talk with the Lord, what He wants us to do, where He wants us to be going. How do you line up with the Word of God? Do you know enough of it? Do you know enough of it to be able to, like I said earlier, to lead somebody to the Lord? Today's tragedy is that has come to man through many different things like tears and sighs and groanings. We have headaches, we have heartaches, we have broken homes, the ruined and the wrecked lives. These are all a result of the broken laws. 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, it says, for this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They aren't hard to keep. As we talked in Sunday school, I said, you know, the closer we get to the Lord, the more we know the way the Lord wants us to live. It's not hard to live a Christian life. It's just be consistent and know what you believe and know why you believe it. Are you where the Lord wants you to be? Are you doing what the Lord wants you to be? You know, we talk about walking with the Lord, standing and sitting. Depending on your age, it might be a little bit easier to just sit. You can still pray. You can still put prayers. You can pray for other people. I've said this before, but Grandma Waller, if I had a problem or I had a prayer that needed answering, she was 101 years old, I sat next to her. She had the Lord's ear. She knew how to talk with the Lord. She couldn't read the Bible, but she knew her Bible. She knew it well from previous years. And I'd sit down with her. Me and my wife, we'd go over there and talk with her and pray with her. And she'd say, "What can I pray for?" And I'll tell you what, I always had a list a mile long because she had God's ear. We can all, no matter what our ages are, if you can't sit, maybe you can stand. If you can walk with the Lord, then walk. If you can run with the Lord, run with the Lord. We all have a place through our lifetime of what we can do for the Lord. We need to make sure we're doing the best we can. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus when He has done all, He's done everything for us? Galatians chapter 5, verse 13 says, "For brethren, we have been called unto liberty." A lot of people think that the Christian way is a hard way. Man, we're saved. We have a home in heaven. We know where we're going. We have the liberty from God the Father. We know where we're going. But we don't need to use that liberty as some people would say, "Well, I'm saved and, you know, I know I'm saved. I'm going to heaven. I have fire insurance." Not in my book. We have a liberty. We can use not the liberty for occasion to the flesh, but by love, serve one another. Do you serve one another? Do you love one another? "Others, Lord, others, let this my motto be." That's what we need to be doing. We have come to God by faith. After we are saved by faith, we are to live on a higher plane than the law. We are to have in our lives the fruits of the Spirit. Does your life reflect the fruits of the Spirit? As I go through these, just think, is this aspect of these different fruits of the Spirit, is it in your life? Are you filled with love? Are you filled with joy? Are you filled with peace? How about long-suffering? How about meekness? How about self-control? There's only six here that we have. Which one are you missing? How many do you have? Checklist. How many do you have? Do you have all that? The Lord wants you to have it. We have the discipline and the guidance that we have by the grace of God Almighty, who saved us by going to the cross and dying for us. Remember in James, talks about, he spoke of the man who beholds his natural face in a mirror, and then straightway forgets what manner of man he was. We need to remember, before we were saved, the joy that we had when we got saved, and continually walk with Him. The Word of God, or the Bible, is God's mirror that shows us who and what we really are. How do you line up with the Word of God? How about your daily walk with the Lord when you're not here? We don't spend a whole lot of time here. We got Wednesday, we got Sunday. During Sunday school, and I would invite you all to come to Sunday school, it's a great, great study as we go through the words. But all of this, but what about the rest of the week when you're working, when you're around your family, when you slip and say some things that you shouldn't have? Does it still hurt as much as it did when you first got saved and all of a sudden you say, oh, did I say that? Or does it get easier and easier as you start talking like that because it no longer bothers you like it used to when you first got saved? We are to allow the Word of God to shape our lives. Are you letting it shape your life? Are you walking with it? We need to be close to the Lord. By going over the Word of God again and again and again, thinking until it becomes a part of our life. It needs to be a part of you. You need to be in season and out of season. The power of the blessed man. It's like, I love this. We got into it in Sunday school, and I had to keep my mouth shut because I didn't want to get into my message. But the power of a tree planted. This tree that we were talking about when we read it, it wasn't one that just happened to be there. It wasn't just a wild seed that came and was planted by the rivers of water. And I want you to realize the word rivers, not one, but the rivers, the Word of God. That seed was planted by the rivers of the Word of God. And it was planted. It was planted deep so it could get root to where it wasn't blown in every way like the sea is. It's just blown around. It bringeth forth fruit in his season, and his leaf will not wither. It's like, I like to think of this as Christians as talking about this tree that's planted by the rivers of a big old green evergreen. That big old green evergreen is green all year long. It's always there. It's always green. It's always ready to go. Nothing changes. It's not like the big old oak tree that's planted that gives its fruit every now and then towards the fall, and its leaf withers and falls away. But I like to think of the Christians as being the good, solid evergreen that's the same way day after day, week after week, month after month, standing for the Word of God. That's what we need to be. We need to be Christians that stand the people. When they get into trouble and they need advice, and they need good advice, they know who to get a hold of. Because they know you won't tell them a story that's going to just make them feel better. You want advice, you go to the pastor. You go to someone that's in touch with God that will look at the Word of God and say, this is what the Word of God says. This is the advice that you need. Not what somebody else thinks. Are you that evergreen that everybody in your family looks up to when times of trouble? If you're not, you need to be. God's trees are planted. They are the trees of righteousness. God's trees, we are born again. We have something that the world does not have. The rivers of living water we get from right here. It has stood through the ages. It will continue to stand until the Lord comes home. And might I say, I don't think it's going to be that much longer. Where are you at? Isaiah. Chapter 55, verses 10 through 12 says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven, and returneth not hither, but watereth the earth, and maketh it to bring forth the bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word that goeth forth out of my mouth, it shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I send it. For ye shall go out with joy, and be led forth with peace, and the mountains and the hills shall break down before you in singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. We have something to say to this world. God wants His Word to come down like the rain. He wants it to get out like the Word of God. I know that I'm called by God to go out and tell people about the Lord. Are you? If you're saved, you are God's mouthpiece. You need to tell people about the Lord. I know now that it is time to gather fruit, for the harvest is ready. I look onto the fields, and the fields are white, ready for harvest. The day is coming when we won't be able to do what we can do now. We have two men in this illustration. We have two men. We have two ways. We have two destinations. One is the dead end street, and the other is to life everlasting. Which road are you on? If we don't stand for something, we will fall for anything. We need to stand tall, stand proud, and not miss the mark. Galatians 5, verse 1, it says, stand fast in the liberty wherein Christ hath made us free. We're made free. We don't have to worry. You know, we didn't have, Jesus paid the price for us. It's just like if somebody needed some groceries and we went down to the store and we paid $100 for groceries and they're already bought and paid for, all you have to do is go get them. Salvation is paid for. Jesus died on the cross for us. All we have to do is accept it. If you haven't, you need to. You know, the biggest decision you would have today is to make sure when you walk out those doors is you're saved. And then the Lord wants you to serve Him. Because He died for you. Stephen was one of the martyrs in the Bible. And I like this verse because it talks about where Jesus was when one of His saints was being killed for standing up for the Word of God. It says, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, Stephen, looked steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. He was standing because one of His was standing for Him, serving Him. Romans chapter 11, verse 20 says, well, because of unbelief, they were broken off, and thou standest by faith. Do you stand by faith? Do you stand by the Word of God? Are you where you need to be for the Lord? If you're not, there's no greater day than to be today. We have people all over this area that need to be saved. You pass them every day. I pass them every day. I wonder, have I done my best for Jesus? Because He's done so much for me. We need to fill these pews with people that need to be saved. We need to come in because we are saved to get our tanks filled to go through the rest of the week because we live in a perverted, horrible world that we live in today. But I'll tell you what, I wouldn't want it any other way right now because I have the peace and the joy and the love of God in my heart. I know where I'm going. I serve Him because I love Him. Some of you people think I'm crazy when I walk in and say, praise the Lord, we get to go to church today. There's places that can't say that. There's places that can't say it. But I mean it. When these doors open, I love to be here. I love the Lord. I hope you love Him as much as I do. I hope you love Him more. Because I want to continue to grow in the Lord. Where are you in your position with the Lord right now? Are you where you need to be? If you're not, there's no better time now than to make it right with the Lord. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, Lord, Your Word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. And Lord, You give it to us to be able to study it, to apply it to our hearts and to our lives. And Lord, I pray that we would just get closer and closer to you. As we see the day approaching, Lord, that we would have no fear because you're with us. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with us with getting our families in order, getting the people in the area around the church, in the condos, in all the different areas around us. And Lord, that we have what they need in the Word of God, that we would be able to compel them to come in. Bless us only you can. Lord, we thank you for all that you do for us, that you would do more through us. And we'll give you all the praise in Jesus' name.